Welcome to the Freight Broker Bootcamp audio experience, and I'm your host, Dennis Brown.
Today, we're not doing a training. We're doing a special interview with a special guest who I'm going to be introducing in just a minute, but we're going to talk about her story, how she got started in freight brokerage business, and how she went from zero to over $4 million a year in sales as a female freight broker in a male-dominated industry. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to pull that all apart, okay? So let's introduce my guest. Hello, hi. Everybody. Welcome. This is my guest, Vishakha Shah. She is an amazing broker. She's done an amazing job. I got to know her again during our Freight Broker Sales Accelerator program. Welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. And this is one secret which I would like to share it with you. I always manifested for this day. I had seen long back when I saw that you're interviewing people, right? And I said to myself that one day, I want to be with you on the same platform. So yes, manifested has been proven correct today. So thank you so much.
It's coming full circle. So I'm so happy to hear that, because I do these interviews, not for me, but for the audience, to help inspire them and educate them on some of the right things to do, some of the wrong things to do, but to really inspire them. And if, you know, it's not the first time I've heard that, and I'm so excited that you're here. So give us just a quick introduction. Give us maybe a 1 minute introduction of you. Tell us a little bit about you, and then we're going to jump right in. Okay.
So, hello guys. My name is Vishakha Shah. My company name is Venus Logistics. I am in this industry since almost, I would say, 18 years now. And my career has been started from transportation itself. So yeah, I eat, I sleep, I do everything with transportation. That's how it is with me. And I'm a wife, and I have a son who's 12 years old. And yeah, here I am.
Love it. Well, you started 20 years ago. So you started in transportation 20 years ago, but you started your brokerage, what was it, 2016, I think you said?
Yes, that's
right. So how did you start in transportation? Was it on the asset side? Were you a dispatcher? What did you do?
Yeah, so I was a dispatcher in a trucking company. So I was on the other side where I used to call the brokers to get the loads.
Yes.
And I did that for 4 to 5 years. And I would like to share a story that when I entered the office of this dispatching world, and when I saw that, you know, you are constantly talking to the drivers, seeing the warehouse and loads and everything, that fascinated me like anything. I was like a small baby and got excited for every small thing I could see and hear. I knew, okay, this is where I belong. So I started the career with dispatching. I did that for 4 to 5 years. And then I was offered to open a factoring company.
Mm.
Yes. So I purchased the invoice. So that company, I ran it for 3 years. Yeah. That company, when I left, it was 33 million revenue. We did that.
And wow.
It was more of accounting. Of course, factoring is more of accounting. And yes. I found myself that I need a little bit more of active work, like, you know, being in warehouse or talking to the drivers and all that. And that's where I came across with the brokerage. That's how I Googled how to open a freight brokerage. And that's where I found your startup kit.
Yeah, so that's the Freight Broker Bootcamp program. So when did you enroll in that?
In 2016.
2016. Okay, great. And so that's when you kind of said, hey, I'm doing this. Yes. All right. So before we go forward, let's take a quick step back, because I don't want to pass over this really quick. And that is, I mean, it's the whole concept, transportation industry, whether it's on the dispatch side, or it's on the driver side, or it's on the warehouse side, or on the broker side, it has a tendency to be dominated by men, right? Especially in the United States. I can't speak on other countries, but in the United States, it's dominated by men. Why did you decide to do that when it seemed like you were swimming upstream, right? You were kind of swimming against the current.
Yeah, I would say, Dennis, that yes, of course, it's a male-dominated industry. There's no doubt about it. But I would say I got such such super supportive male in the industry who actually helped me to grow. They taught me, like, even the company what I was working for, my boss, he helped us so much. He helped me particularly so much to understand the industry. Yes, there are some folks, there were some male who were like, oh, why don't you, you know, do in a bank job, or, you know, you would be more suitable over there. There's no need of going to a warehouse or talking to the drivers, instructing, you know. But but I would say male were the main source for me to understand the industry, and they taught me well.
Yeah, you had a supportive group of men around you. Yes. That must have saw something in you that said, listen, I know this girl is going to be great. Let's just give her the fundamentals and then let her run with it. So yeah, I can imagine that happening, because that's exactly how I felt when I first met you in the Sales Accelerator, right? I knew right away there was just something different. I mean, I could see that. Okay, so that's how you got involved in transportation. You just kind of fell in love with it. And then it was an evolution from dispatching into factoring into brokering, right? Yes. So you started your freight brokerage in 2016. Can you give us a quick walkthrough, even if it's just kind of ballparking, as far as the revenue, maybe year one, year two, year three, you know, kind of going on to your biggest year was $4 million in sales. Could you talk to us a little bit about that and share with us to help kind of inspire others?
Absolutely. So I would say this, even though when I started the company in 2016, even I was in this industry since 9 years. So I knew the terms. I knew how to talk to the driver. I knew bits and bits of everything about transportation. Still, it was very tough for me to find my first client. Very tough. So if anybody is getting disappointed or, you know, disheartened about, oh, I'm not getting it, and you're new in the industry, me being old also had to face a lot of problems. So it was not impossible. It was, you know, it cracked. And finding the loads, I found it easier than finding the trucks, because when you're a new freight broker, nobody's going to trust you. How are you going to pay to the trucking company? So I would just like to share a small story. So I found the load. It was from New Jersey to Ohio. Okay. I was not able to, I called, I think, 250 trucking company. I still have that notepad where I was constantly calling. I was ready to give away. I took that load for 800 and I was ready to even give it for $1,000. I'm like, you just take my load. They're like, no, it's not about that. It's about, we don't trust you. You are just, what, 15 days old. How can we trust you? I convinced one person. He was in New Jersey. And I said him, sir, you pick up the load. I am coming to your home with a check to give it to you. And you take my load to Ohio. Because if you're not going to deliver, the customer is not going to give me the second load to me. So please, you do that. And that carrier is still a very good friend of mine. I mean, you have to think out of box.
So I love it. Yeah.
I was already, I'm like, okay, I am all set. Give me your home address. Give me wherever you are. I'll just come. I'll drive. I'll give you the check upfront, everything before even delivering. I'm going to give you the check, because that time the com check and T check, I was not set up.
So you just figured out a way. I mean, there was obstacles like there is in any business, and you just figured out a way. You just made it happen. And then you move the first load, and then you move the next load, and the next load.
And I moved that load for $600. So I made $200 in that load.
I love it. Perfect. So you made profit on that first load. So yes. That first year, again, I know it started out slow because it took you a while to get your first shipper, and it took you a while to start getting, building your broker credit so you can move the loads. But what did you do that first year? I mean, roughly, what revenue did you do?
Yes, I've written the numbers, and it was amazing for me to see that what I did from 2016. So I started the company in August. So for those 5 months, I was able to do 30 loads, and the revenue was $40,000.
Okay, great. So that was basically about a third of a year. You only had about one full quarter. All right, what about 17?
So 17, in total, I did 280 loads. The revenue was $750,000.
That's a big jump. Wow, that's a big jump. So you found your legs. You found, you know, you started getting some really good repeat business from some of your core customers, and things really started to grow. What about 18?
I did 780 loads that year.
Yeah, no, I'd say it wasn't similar. And then the revenue went to what?
$2.2 million.
$2.2 million in 2018. Okay. So now we're coming into 19 and we're soon going to be approaching COVID. Let's talk about that.
So in like 19, 20, 21, yeah, it was similar, 1.1, but it was 1.1 million to 2 million. Yeah, it was, but
And then your biggest year was what, 2022?
Yes.
And what that was when you did about 4 million in sales?
Yes.
I love it. Amazing. That is amazing. I love to hear that progression because, you know, your first year, you had a partial year, you did $40,000. But what that did is it wasn't that it made you a bunch of money. It wasn't that you became rich overnight. It was the fact that if you knew you could move one load, you could move two loads. And if you could move two loads, you could move four loads. And if you could move four loads and so on and so forth, and you just kept building on it. And you did 40,000, then 750,000, then 2.2 million, and then eventually $4 million in sales. So kudos to you. That's amazing. I love to hear that. That's so cool. I mean, honestly, I'll tell you guys, I was very blessed with my freight brokerage. You guys all know the story. And if you don't, I'm not going to bore you either way. But ultimately, the reason, one of the biggest reasons why I've stayed involved with Freight Broker Bootcamp and I didn't sell it or I didn't close it down and just go off into the sunset and retire was because of the success stories that I get from past students. These stories, I do these interviews because this is like, in a lot of ways, this is kind of like my legacy beyond my family. This is kind of my business legacy. You know, when I eventually retire from Freight Broker Bootcamp, you know, I'll be able to look back on all those stories like Vishaka and Yogi Goswami and you know, Eloy Lozano and all the other success stories that have come out of our program. And that's something I feel good about, something I can hang my hat on. So listen, let's move on. But people ask me all the time, they're like, Dennis, why don't you just retire? Why didn't you, you know, or why don't you, whatever. And this is one of the biggest reasons why, because I get to be a part of their journey. Even though it's a small part, I get to be a part of that journey. All right, cool. So let's talk a little bit about, first of all, let me ask you this. Do you think, you've been around the industry for a long time. Do you think females or males, and this is a little bit of a controversial question, but I'm going to ask you, I know how honest you are. Do you think females or males make better brokers?
I think knowledge.
Okay.
Whoever is having the better knowledge is going to win this race. That's it. It doesn't matter if it's female or male.
Yeah. And I think that knowledge is really important. And I think obviously drive, right, is very important. And I think that perseverance and stuff, I think that's really important. But one thing that I've noticed from my own brokerage days, when I own my brokerage and hiring females and males in the sales role in particular, and even in the operational roles, I found two things. Number one, this is general characterization. So nobody get mad at me, but this is just what I've seen. And that is that men, when they sell, have a tendency to talk a lot. They over-talk things, okay? Mm-hmm. They try to sell too hard, right? They try to be that charismatic salesperson on the phone that's the slick sales guy, and they think that's the secret. But it's really not. It's really all about listening. And I think that, just in my personal opinion, I think women are better listeners when it comes, particularly in the sales arena. I just really do. That's my personal opinion. I mean, I'm just sharing that because I think that if I had started a brokerage today, I would focus on hiring females. I'll be extremely honest with you, because I think they would do as good, if not a better job. Right. So that's just my two cents. I know that, you know, I don't want to get too controversial on here and I don't want people to get upset, but in mileage may vary. All right. So let's move on to the next question. How did you decide the freight niche that you were going to pursue when you first started? And then how has that evolved over the years? Like when you first started, did you pick a niche? How did you pick that niche? Where did it go from there?
So as I said, that I started with a dispatching company so that we used to move dry freight.
Okay.
So no question asked, I am expertise in that. So I started with dry freight. And even right now, Venus is like 90% we move is the dry freight.
Got it. Okay. So you started with something that you knew, something you were comfortable with, something you were educated in, something that you had already put a lot of miles on. And then you just pivoted into the brokerage side on that. And you've continued to stay heavily in the dry freight. I think you had mentioned before that there's some other niches that you're looking at pursuing. Before we talk about those niches, did you have a geographical focus or lane focus, or was it just van freight anywhere?
Initially, I started to be more on the East Coast so that I can physically go and visit the warehouse, the clients, and everyone.
Yep.
So it was easier for me to be New Jersey and 200 and 250 miles around.
Right.
But today I can say that whole US, yes.
Gotcha. Perfect. Okay, cool.
Where I was. I mean, I wanted to be near to all my clients, visit them, you know, show them my face and say them, you know, how the things are and be more personal. So I wanted to be near my place where I am.
Yeah. Anytime you can get more face time with a customer, whether you're in startup mode or whether you're a mature brokerage, you should always try to put a face to your brokerage as much as you possibly can. That's a mistake that a lot of brokers don't do. They hide behind the phone. They hide behind their computer. They never leave their office. And it's a huge mistake. It's kind of a cheat code. If you actually go out and meet people face to face, number one, it will significantly shorten the sales cycle. And number two, it will increase your retention, right? Your overall retention. So what other niches are you considering or have you kind of, you know, ventured out into? I know you're heavy into van freight. Is there anything else that you guys have done?
Yes, I do reefers too.
Okay.
And I'm planning to start drayage. And also I want to do partials.
Yeah.
LTL shipments.
So my only caution to you is be strategic.
Yes.
Take your time. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Pick one.
Yes.
Become an expert.
Yeah.
Build your core carrier base, build your customer base, build all that, and then move on to the next one. Some people have a tendency to bite off a little bit too much. They're like, oh, we're going to go into drayage now. We're going to go into reefer. We're going to go into flatbed. And, you know, usually what ends up happening is they fall on their face. I find is the success rate literally doubles or triples when you isolate a specific industry. And that doesn't mean you have to stay in that industry forever, like your van freight. Now that you've perfected that, now that you have really good solid foundation there, you can expand into other industries, but you really need to do it strategically. So I know you're in the market intelligence, gathering some information on those different industries. So when you do decide to do it, just make sure you're very strategic about it. And I think that's great advice for anybody, right? Don't just haphazardly pick your niche. Okay.
Yes. Absolutely.
All right, cool. So here's a question that I get all the time from people, whether it be on YouTube or LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever. What are your best tips for providing freight quotes that actually win business? Okay. I come to you and I say, okay, Vishaka, I have a lane from New Jersey to Ohio. It's a van load. What is your best tips for quoting that lane accurately and in a way that you can profitably move freight?
So for that, I have a team who handles all carrier relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, I think, more than 6,000 to 7,000 trucking companies' data, where which lanes they prefer, how many trucks they have, and ongoing lanes for a week.
Okay.
So if a customer comes to me and say that, okay, Vish, we have from New Jersey to Ohio, 3 loads, this is the weight, what will be your rate? So instead of posting on DAT and getting the collective data, we already have the live people who actually wants to go to Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And we ask them. So if suppose a guy is saying we'll do for 800, other guy says 900, 1,000. So we'll just average it out and give it to them.
But gotcha. So you've built a carrier database and you've built relationships with drivers and owner operators and small carriers that want that lane, that have trucks available in New Jersey on a regular basis that want to go to Ohio. Yes. And so you just simply reach out to them, whether you buy email or phone or combination, and then you get an idea of what their buy rate is, what your cost is going to be, and then you mark it up.
Yes. And in that, it doesn't mean that all the lanes, all the time carriers are going to have, you know, I mean, it's if suppose a guy is giving me from Idaho to Utah, so I might not have that particular carrier relationship over there. So what am I supposed to do? So over that time, I take help of the DAT. I see that past how many loads have been moved and what is an average out. And then we give an estimate rate. One more thing, Dennis, I don't give a year around rate. I don't believe in that.
Yeah, spot market only.
Yes. And even when I'm quoting for spot rate, I would just make sure that I write that this rate is only valid for 2 weeks or 1 week.
Gotcha.
Because you're taking a rate from me today and you're giving me a load after 3 months, it's not going to work out.
Agreed. 100%. Yeah. Well, people have to understand, and the reason why that's important that you pointed that out is the fact that you will have shippers that will say, hey, we want you to give us an annual bid, or hey, we want you to give us rates on a project 3 months from now. Okay. Yes. And number one, that's extremely difficult to do at any time in my career as a broker that I've been involved in brokerage for over 20 years. Even when the market is very stable, it can be very challenging to do that, right? But when you've got a lot of volatility in the market, right? You've got fuel going up, fuel going down, capacity going up, capacity going down. You got all these extenuating circumstances, right? Things that are going on in the economy, you know, when you've got that volatility, there's positives to that volatility and there's negatives. And one of the biggest negatives is the fact that it's difficult to rate out into the future, right?
Absolutely.
So you as a broker really need to live in the spot market.
Yes.
Until you really, really, really truly have a handle on those lanes, the carriers, you've got a lot of predictability. And the better that predictability gets, the further out you can quote with comfort. But I like the idea of, you know, having a 7 to 14 day kind of expiration on that, on a spot market quote. I think that makes a lot of sense.
So even one more thing which I have added right now is if a customer wants after 3 months rate, so I give a big range. So I'll say, okay, it could be anywhere from 2100 to 2400.
You give them a range, you don't give them an exact amount.
Yep. Yes. And then I say, okay, because if he wants to win the business, he also needs some rate from this customer, right? So I just say that it's going to be between 21 to 24, and then he can add whatever he wants, or if he's a distributor or manufacturer, he can decide what he wants to do. But this is the range if you want me to quote up to 3 months.
Gotcha.
That's what I started doing it. Yes.
All right, great. I like that. Yeah. All right. So I know you talked a little bit maybe about this. How did you get that first customer again? Did you share that with me? The very first one?
I just walked in. Yeah. I did my research. I saw big vans coming out of that warehouse day and night.
Okay.
And I did research and I just walked in and I had my all authority in my hand. As soon as I got it, within 2 days, I was over there and I'm like, hey, sir, I've just opened the freight brokerage. And I know this industry, I can manage with the truck. Could you please give me a chance? And that guy was, I think he was old. He was 55 or 60s, maybe. His eyes were like, why are you here? I mean, you are like, you're so young. And, you know, why are you in this industry? What are you doing in the warehouse? And, you know, you should have something better to do besides this. And I'm like, no, I just want to move it. Can you please give me a chance? He didn't give me that right day, but I followed up, and I think seventh day he called me and he's like, okay, Vish, here is your first load, take it and let me know if you're able to do it or not. So that's how I got it.
Wow, that's amazing. And that was a van load. What type of product was it?
It was spices.
Yeah. Out of New Jersey. Where did the first load go to? From New Jersey to where?
Ohio. So the same, then I had to run to that driver to give him the check.
Gotcha. Okay. So that was the same exact load. So that was your first shipper that you were talking to. Okay. Cause I wasn't sure if that was your first shipper or not. Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. That's an amazing story. See, most people wouldn't have the courage 2 days after they got their authority to walk with their authority in hand and just kind of walk onto a dock with no appointment, with not being welcome, not being invited, but you took a risk, right? Which is what this is all about. You took a calculated risk because you had the experience, you had done the research, and you were ready to go. And you were confident that if he gave you an opportunity, you'd figure out a way to make it happen.
Absolutely.
I love it. I love it. All right. So a couple other questions, and then we're going to wrap it up. Have you ever had one of your loads double brokered? Has anybody ever double brokered a load of yours? You kind of found out in the aftermath. And if so, what do you do now to kind of prevent that double brokering?
Too much of pride. I would like to say that we never had a claim till date, and we never had this double brokered, nothing.
Wow.
No.
So you've done probably close to now $8 or $10 million in revenue total as a broker over the years, and you've never had a claim or a double broker. So tell me the secret. How is it that you've been able to avoid the double brokering issues as opposed to so many others that have struggled with that?
So I'm sure everybody knows the common what we do. We use Carrier 411. We do Safer Watch. We go to FMCSF website. We check over there. But what we have started doing recently right now is if a dispatching company is calling on behalf of a trucking company, so we take the phone number of the exact trucking company, we CC them in all the emails, and we would verify all of this with the factoring company. Doesn't matter if it's urgent load, we need to move. If the factoring company is not open, we wouldn't still go ahead and do it. I'm ready to lose a load, but I'm not ready to be frauded. I can't do that. So we have very strict carrier onboarding process. Very strict.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, no deal's better than a bad deal. And that's a lot of times when the double brokers are going to try to get you is maybe in after hours or when you can't contact the insurance company or you can't contact, you know, the corporate headquarters of the trucking company, or you can't contact the factoring company. So I think that's really smart. I mean, I think that's very, very smart because ultimately if you do get it double brokered, I mean, you know, it not only is the egg going to be on your face, but it can be painful, very painful to your customer, right? That load could be delayed. It could be stolen. It may cost a whole lot more on the back end, depending upon how much they broker to somebody for. I mean, there's a lot of hazards and issues associated with that. So you guys take a very conservative approach.
Yeah. Even for a short load, even if it's a local run, a macro point is must. Even if it's a 20-mile run, if it's from New Jersey or Ohio, macro point, if a driver is not accepting before he's loaded, we cancel the load.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's obviously working because you've done almost $10 million worth of brokered loads and you haven't had a double brokered load. So we're not going to jinx you. Okay. We're going to keep our fingers crossed, but I think you guys are on solid ground. I think the policies and procedures that you have in place are probably the reason why, and the training, the way you teach people, you know, you teach your dispatchers and your brokers and your operations people to vet carriers and to spot those inconsistencies and issues. I'm sure there have been people over the years that have probably tried to do it, but your systems have kind of broken that down and allowed you to recognize those issues. Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Yep. It's all in the training. It's all in those systems. It's all in those policies. So congrats on that. Well, listen, I'm going to ask you one more question, then we're going to wrap it up for today.
Sure.
Think back on your journey as a freight broker starting in 2006. So we're 7-8 years into this now. What is the biggest lesson that you've learned about growing a successful freight broker? So if you had to pick one or two things, you know, the lessons that you learned, maybe they came from mistakes that you made, maybe they came from challenges that you had, but what would be the biggest lesson that you learned during your journey?
So biggest lesson what I learned is needs and requirement of all the customers are different. Better before you understand, it's better for you. So initially, this is the mistake what I did, that if my one customer is saying me, I mean, every customer has their own percentage margin. You cannot expect that if ABC company is giving you 15%, then XYZ is also going to give you 15%. Maybe that guy is just capable of giving you 5%.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding their needs and requirement, plus the possibility of getting the volume, is every customer is different.
Yes.
And it's on you how you want to take it. So that's like a mistake which was rectified and then learned by me.
So the key, if I can pull that back, kind of peel that onion back a little bit, is, you know, you have to treat every customer as its own unique customer.
Absolutely.
It has its own unique needs.
Yes.
And in order for you to understand those needs, you need to do your research, but more importantly, you need to ask the right questions of that customer.
Absolutely.
So that you can really gather that sales intelligence, that market intelligence, that customer intelligence that allows you to make the right decisions, to quote the right way, to take the right next steps in order to secure the business, retain the business, and grow the business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also I would say that this was my mistake, what I did, giving a lot of credit to the customer. Yeah.
New customers. So talk about new customers that come on and you assessing and giving them credit as a new shipper.
Yes. And when you know that that guy is going to pay you in 45, 50 days, right from day one, I mean, you need to think about it. Do you want that?
Yeah. So there's a part of this business. When you're a licensed broker versus an agent, there's two different skill sets here. As a broker, you're going to have some financial management skills and some risk management skills. And those all sound very fancy, right? But ultimately, what you have to be able to do is you have to be able to assess the risk associated with extending credit to a shipper. Because ultimately, if you do one load and the load is $2,500 and they owe you $2,500, you know, they may or may not pay you. They may not pay you timely, they may pay you delayed, but ultimately that is a risk that you're taking by extending them credit. So a lot of companies will come on and say, oh, well, I need $100,000 in credit. Well, if you look on their Dun & Bradstreet, or you look on their Ansonia report, or you look on any of the different credit reporting agencies, you're going to see that maybe they're a brand new company. They've only been around for 1 or 2 years. Maybe they don't have good, you know, maybe their average days to pay are 45 or 50 or 60, like Vish is telling you. So, you know, you have to assess that, because ultimately, you know, you can't wait as a, particularly as a startup, you can't wait 60 days to get paid. You need to turn that money over very, very quickly. And so assessing that credit, you don't want to extend a lot of credit because it could put you at risk. And then the terms of that credit are really important. Those are great lessons. I would strongly suggest that everybody watching this go back and replay the last 5 minutes that we've been talking about these lessons, because those are hard fought, real life lessons of a broker sitting in that chair day in and day out, building a real brokerage. You may have lost it, didn't catch some of the nuance associated there, but those are really, really important lessons. And I really want to thank you for taking so much time. Listen, let everybody know how they can connect with you, learn more about Venus Logistics.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, anybody who needs a startup kick, I'm sure Dennis has all the tools, and I would highly suggest that, you know, he is like a hero in this industry. And if anybody wants any guidance, I'm sure that he has it all covered. But in case if you feel that you want to talk to me, so yes, my email address is wish@venuslogistics.org. You can email me and, you know, I'll try to do as much as I can.
I love it. And listen, for those of you that are curious about becoming a freight broker or freight agent, check out freightbrokerbootcamp.com. Again, trained over 10,000 students. Vish is one of my students from bootcamp and from this Freight Broker Sales Accelerator. We offer a 60-day, 100% unconditional money-back guarantee. I don't care what the reason is. You can kick the tire for 60 days. And if you want your money back, we'll send it back to you. We don't care. Okay? We have a very super, super low refund rate, so we don't sweat it. So have an awesome day. Have an awesome week.
Hey, thanks for tuning in today. I'm humbled that you allowed me to be a part of your day. Now subscribe to the podcast so we can do this more often. And for those of you that take the next 15 to 30 seconds to rate and review the podcast, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it. And who knows, maybe we'll give you a shout out on a future episode.